Do you come to God's word and listen that you may learn and do what he says? Do you have a heart when you come to church? I want to learn. I want to do what he says. I want to do that. That's what it means. Deuteronomy 6:3, I'll read it to you. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may go well with you. Listen and be careful to do.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, where we have an opportunity to hear what God is doing through the ministry of Equipping the Saints. And I have a phone comment from Hari in Pennsylvania. He said, I'm enjoying the teaching. God bless you. God bless your work. Well, Hari, thank you so much for your encouragement. And again, it's such a blessing to hear from our listeners what God is doing through his word in their lives. So thank you. And Dave, at this time, I just want to thank those who are praying for this ministry and those who are faithfully supporting. We so appreciate how God is using you to keep his word going out on the air. And so thank you.
Greg, as we come to our passage in Haggai today, give us a preview of what we're going to see.
You know, Dave, as we close out chapter one of this tremendous book of Haggai, we're going to see that after God had convicted the people of their misplaced priorities, that they responded by hearing with the intent of obeying. And what we'll see today is that when we desire to obey what God says, he will encourage us and empower us to do what he has called us to do. If you have a Bible handy, please turn with me to Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 to 15.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Deuteronomy 5, verse 1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, Shema, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking to you in your hearing, that you may learn and observe them carefully. Listen, that you may learn and do. Do you come to God's word and listen that you may learn and do what he says? Do you have a heart when you come to church? I want to learn. I want to do what he says. I want to do that. That's what it means. Deuteronomy 6:3, I'll read it to you. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may go well with you. Listen and be careful to do. The idea of hearing has the idea of listening with the desire to do what is said. And we understand this when we talk to our kids. We say, listen to mommy or daddy. Well, we're meaning listen so that you'll do what we say, right? That's what we're saying. Listen carefully. Now notice what they were to listen to. It was God's voice, his word sent his way. We have a way of perverting that process, don't we? Of having God's word come our way, the way we want to hear it. But it was sent his way. Notice verse 12 begins with then. It speaks of consecutive action in Hebrew. It's a vav consecutive. There was no delay in their response. They were to consider their ways, and they did. They did. The people listened to, notice, the voice of the Lord their God. Well, did they literally listen to his voice? No. They listened to the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. You see, we have two parallel statements. God spoke through Haggai the prophet. That's how God spoke to them. And notice it says, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him. God sent Haggai to share the word of God. He did it his way, and they listened to obey. And folks, they recognized that Haggai was sent from God. They listened with the intent of obeying. And so often we fall short and we don't recognize that whether we like the person or not, whatever it might be, if they're sharing the word of God, it's God's word, and we need to listen. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. There are some people that kind of like to hear expository sermon. They come and they enjoy it. It tickles their ears. They think it's really great, but they don't listen with the intent of obeying. They want to hear the word or whatever it might be, but they don't. And we see Ezekiel had that issue also. Ezekiel 33. Some people come to listen, but not with the intent of doing what God says. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Now, this is back when the Babylonians were in the land, a few, maybe 30, 40, so years, 50 years earlier, whatever it might be. It's not 70, at least maybe 50, 60, but not more than 70. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each brother saying, come now and hear the message which comes forth from the Lord. That sounds good, right? Hey, let's go hear God's word coming forth, right? And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people and hear your words. But notice what he says. But they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their own mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. And behold, you are to them like a sensual song, one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice or do them. So when it comes to pass, and surely it will, then they will know a prophet has been in their midst. Hey, when God's word really does come to pass, they'll know that that was God speaking through Ezekiel there. Not the case here. In Haggai, not the case. They heard it with the intent of obeying. Their hearts were right. They responded rightly. Now, implied in this is the considering of their ways. Implied in this is the acknowledgement they're not doing the right thing, as we're going to see. You know, sometimes we think, I've got to say, okay, I need to say I repent here. No, it's just a heart change. I'm going the wrong way, Lord. And I believe what you said, and I was wrong. There's the implication that they understand that. And it says, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, back in Haggai, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord God had sent him. You see, the Lord God sends people to share his word. And he has declared how he wants his word proclaimed, by the way. New Testament, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells Timothy, hey, Timothy, this is how you should be doing this. This is what you should be doing. This is God's way of how it's done. And notice he doesn't say, Timothy, sit on a chair and discuss issues with the congregation. He says, preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, that means expose, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn aside to myths or stories. We see that happening all the time. But that wasn't happening here. We know that Paul said that we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man, that we present every man complete in Christ, God's building program, right? Some of you are not obeying the voice of the Lord because you're not listening to the people who are presenting his word his way. You're listening to people that present things the way you want to hear it. God's word shows how his servants are to declare his word. It shows. So then what's the proper response? They heard the voice in the word given his way, and they listened with the intent of obeying. That's the first step in responding rightly when God is exposed your life is wrong. When you really want to follow the Lord, that's the first step. One pastor writes, they listened intently, which is translated obey. The heart of the word means to take God seriously, that you hear intensely at a deep level what he's saying. The reason this is hearing-based, could be translated obey, is that you've already decided that you're going to do what you hear. Make that decision. I'm going to do what God says. I want to do that. They listened the intent of obeying. And again, that's exactly what we expect with our kids. Listen up, that they would do what we say, right? You know, Jesus often said, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear. They had ears to hear in Haggai. Now, one quick note, you need to be in the Word and in a church that's teaching the Word of God, obedient to the Lord, and you need to be in it personally to respond, to hear it His way. You see, God's Word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, it's like a sharp two-edged sword able to pierce the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In Isaiah 55, the Lord shares how His Word goes forth. Let's turn there, Isaiah 55, verse 10. Isaiah 55, verse 10, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, verse 11, so shall my word which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter in which I sent it. As you read the Word of God, when you open up your Bible in the morning, whatever it might be, you read your smartphones, the Bible apps, whatever it might be, do you come to it with a heart, I want to obey what you say, Lord God? Do you come to church with that attitude? I want to hear what you want to say through your word, and I want to do it. You know, a long time ago, I was in a skydiving class. First time I ever went skydiving. And as they were sharing the class, I wasn't a believer. Thought I was, but I wasn't. They're sharing all the things you got to do so that you don't die, right? And I'm sitting there like this, glued to the instructors, the whole class. And there's this guy goofing off, not paying attention. Well, sure enough, when we went out of the plane, this guy didn't know what he was doing, and he flew straight into the face of a barn, and he got hurt badly. Could have died. My point is that when you recognize something's important, you listen very intently. And hopefully you're doing so with the Word of God, the most important. Okay, so how are we to respond? First of all, listen with the intent of obeying. And then notice, back in our passage in Haggai, in the end of verse 12, it says, and the people showed reverence for the Lord. Reverence. The term translated reverence here is the term from the Hebrew that means to fear. They feared the Lord. Exodus 20:20 makes it clear that you can see this word translated in different ways. Same word translated two different ways. One is fear shaking in your boots. Another one is reverence for God that we might not sin. Turn to Exodus 20:20. It's a good passage to remember how this word is used, to understand it rightly. Showing reverence and fear for God doesn't mean we're shaking and afraid. Exodus 20:18. I'll actually go back a little bit. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain of smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. And notice what he says here. Moses says to the people, do not be yare. Do not be afraid. Okay? God has come to test you so that the yare, or the fear of God, will be with you to keep you from sinning. You see, a right reverence for God is seeing him rightly, seeing God rightly, seeing ourselves rightly, seeing him as the God of the universe, reverencing him. One pastor writes, to fear God means to acknowledge his superiority over man, to recognize his deity and thus respond in awe, humility, worship, love, trust, and obedience. And I would add, respect. Now, if you're not a believer, you have no fear of God before your eyes. You don't fear him at all. You're just cruising on your life. You don't fear him at all. It's evident. But when we're forgiven that we might fear the Lord. Psalm 130, there is forgiveness in thee that thou mayest be feared. That must be revered. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we now have the ability to reverence God, to see him rightly, because we see ourselves also rightly. We are to conduct our lives in this stay on earth in fear, 1 Peter chapter 1, knowing the price that was paid for the forgiveness of sins. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2. We are to reverence God and see him rightly. And guess what? When you're responding to God's word, there's going to be obedience, desire to obey, and a reverence for God. That's when you can know you're actually responding rightly. We see that. They listened intently to obey. They feared and reverenced the one who spoke to them, hearing and fearing. Are you hearing and fearing the Lord? Are you hearing his word and fearing him? That's the first response we have when God reveals misplaced priorities when we consider our ways. Notice we have God's response afterwards, and what a blessing this is. Look at verse 13 back in Haggai. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Tremendous. Now in the NESB, which I'm sharing here, it says Haggai, the messenger of the Lord. And the word commission could probably be, it's a cognate of the word messenger. You could say it this way, then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke the message. Indeed, the New King James says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message. I think that's a better translation. So they are responding, and guess what? They get a message from the Lord. They get a message from the Lord, and what is it? Really wonderful. I am with you. I'm with you. Things are right between us now. They weren't right before. This people, things are right. I am with you. Now, this is interesting. Does this mean that God was not with them? We know that for believers, we have the Spirit of God within us. These are Old Testament believers, but we know even from the Old Testament, it's quoted, I will never leave you nor forsake you, quoted in Hebrews. It's an Old Testament verse. God will never leave you. He wasn't going to leave them. But I believe when we are not about His priorities, He is not acknowledging what we're doing as right. He's not with us in that. I'm not with you in what you're doing. This people does this. I'm not with you. You'd be about my business. I am with you. God is with you when you're about what His business is. You know, it's wonderful to understand that God is with us when we're doing what He wants us to do. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, do not fear, do not be afraid, but He says, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you, surely I will help you, surely I will hold you with my righteous right hand. God is with you when you want to do the right thing. When you just acknowledge in your heart, I'm going the wrong way, I'm doing the wrong thing, I'm about my own business, I want to do your will, and I praise you and worship you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 20, then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous. And he says, and act, do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. David says to his son Solomon. We know from Matthew 28, right? What do we know from the Great Commission? Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18. Turn there, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, teaching them to obey. Right? And He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, let me ask you, what do we need most when we decide to do what God wants us to do? We need Him. We need Him. We need His presence. We need His approval in that sense that we are doing what He wants us to do. I am with you. I approve it. That's what I want you to do. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke the message of the Lord to the people and said, I am with you. That's the response. The first thing God's response, you get your heart right, I'm with you. We're walking the same way again. And then notice He also encourages them and empowers them, which is amazing. You have the encouragement, I'm with you, but notice He empowers them. Verse 14, so the Lord, that's the great I am, that's the Yahweh, the great I am, stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. He stirred them up. He changed their hearts. Stirred them up. It's the same stirring up we saw in Ezra. They were stirred up to leave Babylon and to serve the Lord, to go rebuild the temple. You hear Him, you fear Him, you know He's with you. He stirred up their hearts. You know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord. Same time period, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Same time period. I'm going to do it through you. He stirred them up. I'm going to see He's going to do it. When we hear and fear, then all heaven breaks loose and comes to our aid to do what He wants us to do. 2 Chronicles 16:9, I love this passage. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. I'm with you. I strongly support you. Isn't that wonderful? We have the assurance of His presence and of His power. Now we know we're not adequate to consider anything coming from ourselves. We know apart from Jesus we can do nothing, but He is assuring them and He assures us that when we want to do what He wants us to do, He's going to empower us to do it. He stirred them. He stirred them up. And notice the tremendous result. Verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, the spirit of the remnant of the people. And what's the result? And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. They did what He wanted them to do. They worked on the house. They were about his house rather than focusing on their house. Amazing. Remember back in verse 8, he said what he wanted to do, go to the mountains, bring wood, rebuild the temple that I may be pleased and glorified. And what happens? When their hearts were changed, they heard the word, they considered their ways, God's word, their hearts were changed, they revered God. God empowered them, he shared his presence with them, he empowered them, and then they went about his work. They came, end of 14, and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. His work done by his people with his strength for his glory. And notice the side reference to the date, verse 15. On the 24th day of the sixth month of the second year of Darius the king. Now this reveals that this working began 23 days after Haggai had done that and God had within that stirred their spirits to do the work. God stirred their spirits. Some would say that the distance reveals that they really weren't responding, that they didn't have hearts that intended to obey. I don't believe that's right. I believe this, what the scripture says, they heard it, they desired to obey, they feared the Lord, God encouraged them, he empowered them, he stirred them up, and then the work began. Well, what about you and I, brothers and sisters? In Ezra chapter 6:14, it says, and the elders and the Jews were successful in building through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet. God's word worked in their hearts. And they got about God's business, and it was built. What about you and I? Are we about God's business? Are you considering your ways? These are the devout ones who really were following the Lord, by the way. They were the ones who left everything in Babylon, but yet they got sidetracked. This message is not to those who are playing the phony Christian thing, who care less about God, who don't care. These are those who have, I've decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow that. And yet they got sidetracked like all of us get sidetracked. And they allowed God's word to work in their hearts that they would consider their ways. And they heard with the intent of obeying. And they feared the Lord and God encouraged them and empowered them. And they got about and obeyed the Lord. How about you and I? We slip so easily in our hearts every day. We need to renew our minds with the word. I do. I don't know about you. I know myself. It's so easy for my heart to stray away from what God has truly intended for me to think about and be focused on. So easy. You need to be in the word of God. Have a right heart. Now, some of you are like these people here. It's been 16 years. You haven't followed the Lord really honestly for 16 years or maybe more. You do know the Lord. You did trust him, but your life is not about his business. It isn't. It really isn't. Consider your ways. And if you respond rightly, you'll see what we saw here. A response of reverence and obedience and listening, desiring to obey. And God will encourage you. And God will be with you. And he will enable you to do what he calls you to do.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you made this comment in today's message. You said that we have a choice to face dissatisfaction and discipline or enjoy his presence and power. You know, that seems like such a clear choice. Why would we ever do anything other than choose his presence and power?
Well, Dave, actually the answer is quite simple. We're sinners. And apart from allowing God's word to continually renew our minds, we by default become conformed to this world, i.e. we fall back into thinking the way we used to think before we were saved.
And indeed, if we choose to disobey, the consequences are severe. But if we choose to allow God to conform us to His image, confront us with His Word, to change us, when we desire to obey Him, He will encourage us and He will empower us to do what He says.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.